Chapter 14. To Touch the Ground. The morning sun was songfully bright. The world bloomed one orchard at a time, as the radiant dawn spread its rays over the treetops and across the manes of three ponies in the throes of deep labor. On one row of apples, a red stallion and an orange mare bucked trunk after trunk with well-hardened precision. Across another flank of trees within the soul's anchorage, Harmony filled basket after basket with red and green fruit, fighting steadily to ooze her way across the grand expanse of sweet apple acres in a heroic race against time. In such mechanical precision, the allied equines completed the last of the east orchards. They stumbled breathlessly across the southern fields, or at least McIntosh and Applejack were breathless. Harmony cringed to see the siblings' natural bodies wearing down under the persistent hurdles that they were scaling to get the impossible job done. The morning's length of work had no effect whatsoever on the time traveler's projected limbs, and what she saw the previous day as an advantage in getting Applejack to open up had instead transformed into an obligatory crutch. She briefly considered coming out with the truth, not just the truth about the act of accord, but the total truth, something 300,000 times more palpable than the confidence she had constructed so belatedly between herself and Miss Smith. She imagined taking Applejack and McIntosh over into the shade and telling them everything about the future, about the cataclysm, about being the last pony, and how everything that the farmhoofs saw and felt would someday end up in flames. It would certainly dwarf everything that they were struggling to accomplish then and there. But would it help them? The horrified faces of Miss Cheerilee and her many foolish students flickered across Harmony's shuddering mind. Somehow, her guilt over that circumstance had severely degraded over the last several hours of scavenging and time traveling. But the prospect of seeing those same terrified faces plastered across McIntosh and Applejack, ponies who Harmony especially knew, was something she never wanted to conceive. And just what would knowledge of the future do for them? The curse of the trolls had sapped enough color from them as it was. Applejack's farm was under attack by horrible monstrosities, and she was barely a day away from the biggest failure in apple bucking. Harmony realized that the family of Earth ponies presently had enough truth to worry about. The gruesome future suddenly seemed like a very flimsy appendix to an ever-prevalent, ever-bleeding now. Perhaps that's the way it always had been, Harmony wiltingly pondered. Lives are best lived without the knowledge of death, and yet within death. Was that what Spike was trying to convince her? Harmony shook the shadowed clouds of doubt off her shoulders and bucked her worries away, forcing apple cluster after apple cluster to fall succinctly into the baskets. It was such a simple, mechanical, yet trying exercise. She could suspend herself into that task forever, and she knew very well that her two friends across the field could and would. There might come a time when the visitor from the future would tell the Apple family the worst news they could ever hear. But right then, Celestia forgive her. Harmony's job was to help them, in the only way that she was capable of doing, in the only way she was ever capable of helping them, though she didn't yet know what that way exactly was. The memory of her act of accord fabrication was an ever-present, ever-guilty spur in her flanks, making her vibrate over the green landscape with a quickening pace of fear, panic, and desperation. The colors of a living Equestria shimmered about her. She reveled in it. She had no choice. It was in her pony nature to breathe and sing from the inside out with that magnificent garden of delight. Yet, there was a numbness, a garrote wire of remorse that strung her, dangling, bare centimeters above the glistening grass that formed a springy soft floor beneath. Harmony was there in body and spirit, though it was a fake body and a courageously dishonest spirit. But try as she might, she could never truly get her hooves on the ground. She didn't need wings to stay aloft in the way she was. This farm, this home, was not meant for her. It was never meant for her. Even as a filly, cradling a scooter along the fringes of a campfire, she refused herself relaxation like she refused herself the marshmallows that she herself bought for her friends at the campfire eons ago. Applejack's strength had kept her from crying all these years. In a dark-lit parallel, Harmony's foolish determination had kept her from sleeping, so that the childish filly had settled for nocturnal shivers of loneliness in the random vacant hovels that her nomadic scavengings could afford. Harmony never needed a cataclysm to be the last pony. For as long as she could remember, the filly's years were carved by the cold claws of isolation, a self-imposed crusade that superseded cutie marks or even prismatic idol worship. She never settled, never relented, never caved into the invitation of another pony's bed to lie down in, for a dinner table to eat at, for a home to live, laugh, grow, and eventually die in. There were, of course, exceptions. Cutie Mark Crusader sleepovers, rainy days spent at Fluttershy's place, a trip to Twilight Sparkle's library. But all of those were merely childish excursions through the ether of juvenile whimsy, and nothing permanent, nothing she could ever handsomely afford herself. This was because, in all her years of running and searching, Harmony could never be strong enough. Or at least, not so much as she figured she deserved any of those sweet and permanently endearing things. As a result, she had always been on the go, a scooter-shoving blur of audacious delinquency. Even now, a dizzied and hapless time traveler who was being rubber-banded back and forth through the ages, Harmony couldn't allow her hooves to touch down to the earth, to embrace something that was so warmly and invitingly offered to her. In tiny samples, she tasted it, only to fall back into the numb limbo that this entropian body was temptingly granting her, a safe and relaxingly static flux. Spike had seen that in her, had plucked the thorns out of her frazzled brown body with those illuminating and wizened green eyelets of his. He had told her in the ruins of Sugar Cube Corner that it was time she stopped running, and yet here Harmony was, having been thrown down a quarter century's length of reverse time, and the same creatures that had punctured her life to tatters, that had run all of her strength down into a paltry feeble sob against bloodstained bulkheads, were waiting for her once again. Spike was right. She never had a home. Until she could be sure that the Apple family would, Harmony couldn't pretend to make sense out of her being there. She couldn't tell Applejack and McIntosh the truth about the bleakness of it all. She couldn't touch her hooves down to the earth. As the sun crept to a high noon and the heat rose in vapors off the thick green leaves of the orchards, the three ponies trudged their strained hooves across the trees, and yet they barely made it past one-third of the southern field. At that rate, success was not only difficult, it was inconceivable. Sweet Apple Acres leaned on the precipice of a veritable cataclysm of its own. A lonely copper pariah found herself gazing forlornly at their home from a billion size away. It wouldn't have been her first time. "I never thought I'd hear myself say this." Applejack sweated through a damp mat of blonde hair as she slapped three stacks of burgeoning fruit baskets atop a wooden crate resting in the dirt path between apple orchards. "But this is starting to look plumb impossible." She leaned against the cart and fanned her scalp with the hole of her brown hat. "What in the hay was I thinking when I made this contract? You were thinking that you and your family needed to be rid of these horrible trolls once and for all, and in your desperation, this was your only option," Harmony uttered as she stacked up a column of baskets herself. "But regretting the past only drags time, and we don't have much to thank time for right now." She glanced briefly at the noonday sun, then squinted her way across the horizon to where a thoroughly sweating McIntosh was slaving away in another row of trees with his kicking hooves. "I don't know about you, but I've always held the past in high regard. I think it makes for a healthier lifestyle." "Your philosophy is just as inspiring as your physique, Miss Harmony." Applejack winced against the fanning of her hat, but nevertheless managed a gentle smirk. "I swear, I wish I knew your secret. If I had bucked nearly as many trees as you, I would have died a heatstroke by now. Hey, I eat my oats, so sue me," Harmony mumbled as her amber eyes scanned the horizon. An invisible line of leather bodies scoffed at her. She shook it off and returned to the skin she was donning. "Applejack, I might be a bureaucratic clerk of Canterlot, but I consider myself to be an engineer by trade." She blinked at the words coming out of her mouth, but stammered on regardless. "I really wish I could, I don't know, hammer together some device that could mechanize this whole operation and make it work a billion times faster for you." "Nuh-uh, nothing to it." Applejack upturned her nose and slapped the back of her hat onto her head. "It's a trademark of the Sweet Apple Acres harvest that everything is hoof-picked. We never cater to none of them factory contraptions the likes of which you see all over cities like Stalingrad and Manhattan. With the way of progress and all, you witness less and less homely business like the Apple family's farmstead across Equestria these days." "Still, there's gotta be a way to make this process faster. If we could just do something grandiose, yet organized, to fill all these baskets with apples." "Well..." Applejack rubbed her chin with an orange hoof. Nah." Harmony squinted hard at her. "Miss Applejack, I have more ears than you have corn." "Well..." Applejack fidgeted, then nervously smiled. "I was just recollecting on this one time my friends and I paid my cousin Brayburn a visit over yonder in his pioneering town of Appaloosa. They grow apple orchards out in the desert, and, to this very day, they cut harvest time in half by allowing the local tribes of buffalo to perform their ritualistic stampede down the dirt roads between the rows of fruit trees. The shaking of the earth made by all the mighty buffalo's hooves caused the apples to fall off all proper-like. Then the buffalo get a free share of the bounty. The whole thing is what paved the way towards happy Appaloosan coexistence." She smiled proudly. Harmony stared at her with bored amber eyes. She droned, "That is by far the stupidest thing I have ever heard of." Applejack cleared her throat and shrugged. "Well, 'tain't like I was the one who thought of it or nothing." Harmony ran a hoof over her amber-streaked mane and scrunched her forehead in thought. "But..." She tongued her lips, blinked, then brightened with a goofy grin. The wall of midnight trolls disappeared before the suddenly blossoming fields of her mind. "I think I know of something even stupider." She even giggled. "And it just might work. Come on." Harmony galloped towards a row of trees beyond McIntosh. Applejack stumbled to follow her in a swift canter. "What you got in mind, Copperbottom? Grab a bunch of baskets and I'll show you. And for the love of flamestones, stop calling me that." Under the glittering afternoon sun, Harmony finished setting the last of many baskets up against two parallel rows of apple trees. She stepped back beside a blinking pair of siblings and smiled at her own hoofwork. Right, so here's the idea. She spun about and smirked at them. You guys know that I have this freakish stamina, am I right?
Yep.
Right. Well, I think we can make use of it. Harmony twirled again and pointed a hoof at the trees. Rather than buck all these trees one at a time, I'm going to shoot for hitting them all at once. Or, well, close to it. And how in tarnation do you plan to do that? Applejack asked with a righteous lift of her eyebrow. I've seen you tackle trolls in the dark like no opponent's business, but apple trees are a delicate matter. Are not? You said so yourself yesterday, did you not? Right. So, let's see if I can put these things... She flexed her wings. To use. Applejack, I'm going to be flying fast and low across the trees, so I need you to gallop quickly in order to keep up with me.
To keep up with you?
Sugarcube, what in the hay do you need me to run along with you for?
Harmony glanced at her. She wanted to say she needed Applejack close by because she only had so much range to her soul's anchorage. She wanted to say that she was awfully afraid that this stunt might accidentally fling her back into the future on green tongues of flame. She said, I need some pony to spot me as I strike the trees, and I also want to make sure that I'm not hurting the orchards any. Deal?
Fine.
Applejack eventually grunted to Harmony's satisfaction. Let's just see how this goes.
You do the sightseeing. Harmony smirked and hovered up into midair on copper wings. I'll do the rest.
You've got my attention already.
Applejack broke into a light trot. Beside her, McIntosh stared with sweat-stained curiosity.
Harmony took a deep breath. Here goes.
She gulped. She reached her hooves up for her goggles, realized she didn't have any in this timeline, and rolled her eyes. Regaining her composure, Harmony flew towards the edge of the orchards, banked around, waited for Applejack to break into a full gallop, and then... Harmony rocketed into a high-speed glide down the trench of apple trees. She curved her wings, flexed her legs, and immediately veered to the left. At high speed, she slammed hard into one wooden trunk hooves first, flexed her knees, and bounced off at a 75-degree angle. Spinning in mid-lunge, Harmony brought her hooves around and landed against the tree on the opposite side. With another thud, she bounded off, spun, flew across the trench, and landed against the next opposite tree. This whole interchange of tree bouncing proceeded at an alarming speed, so that, in swift measure, the Pegasus had ricocheted against two rows of apple trees. She resembled a copper pinball in her precision, all the while the galloping Applejack on the ground gazed in blinking amazement. Her dizzying task done, Harmony landed, skidding across 2.5 meters of splashing soil. She exhaled hard, spun around, and inspected her work from afar. To her dazzling joy, every single one of the trees that she had collided with had magically lost its supply of fruit, dropping them like an astounded audience's roses into all of the neatly arranged baskets resting against the trunks. McIntosh whistled shrilly. Applejack came to a sliding stop and marveled.
Son of a bridal maid! That's the fastest I've ever seen a non-magical pony pluck an orchard of its fruit! I swear, your Pegasi never cease to amaze me.
To be honest, Harmony dusted herself off and smirked through a frazzled spray of settling black mane hair. I wasn't all that sure it was going to work until I tried it. Pretty cool, huh? She blew an amber streak out from her brow and smiled the Earth Pony's way.
Miraculous is what it is. Mackie, what do you think?
The red stallion nodded in earnest, grinning. Harmony breathed momentarily as if she had come to the surface of a frigid lake for the first time in hours. The world glittered around her with sudden dazzlement. The trolls ever so briefly returned to the gray malaise of yesterday and tomorrow, and all that stood before the last pony was the joyously vibrant now. There was no better feeling than being useful, and for the briefest moment it excused every vicious lie she had forced herself to construct in front of Applejack. Soon, though, that moment ended, and the time traveler was thrown back into the sweat-stained situation under the desperate ring of Applejack's voice.
Any chance y'all might be able to pull off that trick a few more times?
Applejack stammered.
She gulped.
And when I say a few more times, I mean 100 more times. Perhaps cross the rest of the southern fields? That is, if you're able.
Does Bruce talk like he's got marshmallows in his mouth?
The hey is that supposed to mean?
It means, simply, that I'm liking this idea.
Harmony gave a trademark smirk. The rest of the afternoon blistered by with insanely mechanical precision. Applejack and McIntosh would line up the baskets. Harmony would concoct a flight path. The orange mare would get a galloping start, and together, they roared down the rows of orchards, 2 columns at a time, with the copper Pegasus breathlessly pinballing her way from tree to tree, so as to drop the apples by the hundreds. The result was akin to mowing a large yard of all of its red spots, so that the entire southern field were harvested clean of fruit within the span of 4 hours. As the sun sloped its way down towards the darkening horizon,
The hope within the hearts of the three equines brightened immeasurably. There were still two whole quarters of the whole acres left to cover, but if that day's unfolding held any legitimate prophecy of the next morning to come, the last day of apple bucking could prove to be a miraculous day. Harmony felt it. With the crisp golden hues of the coming sunset, her projected self's eyes glazed to witness a day's work phenomenally accomplished. She was a dizzy, loopy-brained, frazzled-winged pony from the twirling effort of it all, but somehow the numbness almost equated to sore muscles, so that the time traveler sensed, to her reverie, the signs of having done a fine day's job indeed. Applejack and McIntosh, of course, were at their limit. This was no more evident than around the 20th time of stacking baskets onto the back of a wooden cart. Harmony hummed to herself, ready to soar off towards another row of apples, when Applejack all but collapsed directly in front of her path.
Sugarcube, seriously, for all that's whole in this heaping crazy world, let's take a moment's breather, you reckon?
Harmony giggled foolishly, cleared her throat, and murmured in a more adult voice.
Yes, sure thing, Miss Applejack. I'm really sorry. I guess I just got carried away. Oh, heavens to Betsy.
Applejack slumped down onto a rich emerald hillside of green grass.
Please, by all means, get carried away more often. I haven't seen that much fancy flying and laboring since Twilight Sparkle became team organizer of last year's winter wrap-up.
On a whim, Harmony feigned ignorance.
This Twilight Sparkle must be some Pegasus. Oh, shucks no.
Applejack laughed.
She's just a fancy bookworm of a unicorn who really knows how to organize stuff, but I do love her to death.
She took a deep breath and gazed across the glistening, fruitless trees of the southern acres that remained from the long day's work.
And just like you, she helped me when I needed it most.
A soft smile fluttered across Applejack's face, and she rested her sweaty muzzle down over folded hooves.
This last year too has been a true sight to think that I would make such wonderfully fine friends.
You're a lucky mare, Miss Applejack. Harmony said, a touch of somberness returning to the last pony's voice.
Most of the time, I reckon.
The farm mare murmured. She glanced the Pegasus's way with a forlorn pair of eyes.
I don't suppose that the same brain noodle years that thought up the ricochet apple bucking trick has also come up with a dazzling solution to our troll problem by now.
Harmony sighed long and hard. The numbness returned, and with it came a phantom sea of bright, beady eyes. The waning day was a living time bomb, and the shorter and shorter fuse sparked with green flame.
I'm very sorry, Miss Applejack, Harmony coldly droned. I like to think that I'm pretty good at multitasking, but I've been so absorbed in getting all these apples down, I can't say that I've managed to come up with a good plan.
She squatted down the grass beside Applejack as the lulling evening breeze drifted pleasantly across their manes.
And even if I could headbutt my one-track mind against it, I'm not sure I could come up with an epiphany any faster. Y'all have done some mighty fine work on our trees, Miss Harmony, but in all seriousness,
Applejack muttered in a sad face.
I cannot ask you to use your same Pegasus skills against those varmints after nightfall. It just ain't proper. No pony is invincible. Not even you.
Harmony thought of a rusted weather vane, a shattered green cutting knife, and Granny Smith's shuddering breaths. Applejack was as lucky as she was thoughtful to have worried about Harmony's projected safety. When Harmony briefly considered arguing against her, the frigid catacombs of her mind reminded her of a weeping teenage filly bleeding in the womb of the Harmony.
Thinking I'm invincible wouldn't have kept me alive all these years, Harmony uttered without thinking. I beg your pardon?
Harmony sighed into the breezy afternoon.
Nothing.
She smirked the Earth Pony's way.
If Twilight Sparkle was here, what would the team organizer do to solve your troll problem, you think? Twilight's a lot of talent, I reckon. She's dispensed with a Nursa Major, a Hydra, and a hoof full of Parasprats. But where she shines in craftiness, she loses out a tad bit in courage. Not to pop her balloon or nothing, but if that Cantalonian unicorn saw them beady-eyed trolls in the dark, she'd run straight back home to Spack.
Harmony squinted the orange mare's way.
I'm from Canterlot. Aren't I brave?
Nah, you're just freakishly convenient. Applejack smirked. Harmony giggled, her laughter joined by the Earth Ponies. Silence once more calmly permeated the hilltop as the two basked under the shade of a passing cloud. The sun's rays burst through the wispy beds like golden harp strings, and Harmony's breath left her in no less swiftness as she drank it all in. Briefly parting the curtains of entropian numbness, she closed her eyes and rode an invisible green slide down past 25 years of nightmares, so that she sailed beyond it and landed in the same springy hilltop, only with tiny orange hooves, a flowing pink mane, and happy violet eyes that drank in the same memories that had suddenly melted into reality before the time-traveling Pegasus. The surreality of it all gave her a runner's high, as if she was galloping at 40 kilometers an hour inside of the glass shell of her projected soul self. Any second, she felt as if the glass would break, and she would be back in the land of ash and emptiness. Upon opening her amber eyes, the same warm world blossomed gracefully around her, so that the last pony was divinely tempted to curl it all up like a blanket and sleep there forever. But this world, this past, was not hers. It belonged to the orange pony resting beside her, the same pony who was presently murmuring, "I reckon my folks will be ashamed of me." Harmony jolted, her mental hooves a scant centimeter away from having touched the ground. She flashed Applejack a bizarre look. "What gives you that infernal idea?" The farmer had taken her hat off and was absentmindedly bending the brim of it in a spinning circle as she solemnly gazed beyond the blades of grass beneath her. "It's one thing to be strong, and I've always committed myself to that. But I also know that the Apple family has an age-old tradition of being dependable, of being honest. Heck," she glanced apologetically at Harmony, "I was even fused to the element of honesty. Did y'all know that?" Harmony opened her mouth to answer, blinked forth an image of a scoffing fool seated before a campfire, and eventually uttered, "I don't get out of Canterlot very much, Miss Applejack. Maybe you could fill me in?" It's actually a very long and boring story for those who weren't involved. I reckon I only recite it to my friends and their little siblings because it means so much to them." Applejack took a deep breath and gazed off towards the goldening horizon. "But let's just say that my honesty was once put to the test. Not just as a piece of my character, but as a piece of something so amazingly magical that it shaped my very own destiny. A destiny that would unite me with the best friends any pony could have in the whole wide world." She produced a strong, happy breath, and yet it faded as she dusted the hat off and planted it once more atop her blonde mane. "Well," Applejack muttered, "I sure as heck haven't been all that honest lately. What, with me trying to drive you off my farm the very moment you showed up to help Mackie and me and the rest of us. I think my problem is that I get so wrapped up in the duty I have to Ma and Pa's legacy, that I sometimes portray the gritty things about myself that make me so valued among my friends. Being truthful is a major part of that, and when I hide the truth, I just crumble in on myself. Trolls are horrible things, but they're hardly an excuse for me to lose the one thing that makes me truly strong." "Your commitment?" Harmony asked. Applejack looked back. "My character." The Pegasus smirked. "Oh, Miss Applejack, I don't think you'll ever have to fear losing that." "Every pony stands to lose something, Miss Harmony. It's the facts of life. At least when I'm honest, all I have to lose is all I have to give. Truth works in a circle like that, you reckon?" The time traveler held her breath. A blistering opaque divide stood between her and this earth pony, an obstruction that she had fabricated to make this entire day possible. 12 hours into the exercise, and Harmony was nowhere closer to piecing together a solution to the Apple family's troll problem. It made simply sitting there an atrocious sin, and listening to Applejack's confessions a triply festering wound. Harmony summoned the strength to speak from the one pit in her soul that could still shine, the part of her that respected, admired, and even loved this blonde shade of the past sitting before her. "If there's any truth that's obvious to me right now, Applejack," Harmony nudged her and smiled, "it's that your parents would have been proud of you, in spite of any glaring errors that you think your character may have." She motioned towards the distant side of McIntosh, strongly drawing a wooden cart full of apples down a path and into the red barn. "You've looked after your siblings with loving tenderness. Your brother is one of the finest specimens in all of Ponyville. You would think that, Copperbottom." "I mean, he's a strong and resourceful pony, an example to all other farmers and citizens who share this land with him. You've also got an adorable younger sister who's obviously well-mannered and well-to-do, which is another sign of your responsible care and attention. And then your grandmother, such a wonderful soul. She's healthy, happy, and certainly very proud to be living on a farm that you have shouldered for all these years." "Shoot, darling." Applejack lowered the brim of her hat some. "You're making me blush." "What I'm trying to say, Miss Applejack, is that you should be happy and proud. If not for your parents' sake, then for your own." Harmony smiled and waved a hoof across the green expanse of the acres. "You have a family. You have a home. You have..." Her lips trailed as she blinked at her own words floating off in the golden breeze. "You have Harmony." "Heh." The farmer raised her hat back up to blink. "I reckon we do most definitely have you in our company, Sugarcube." "That's not what I meant," the time traveler began, but felt her heart stop. Somewhere in the night-lit recesses of her mind, a homeless foal shivered in the loft of an abandoned barn, blanketed with warm tears. "Huh. I just want my folks to look down from Giltifine's bosom and see that I've done the right thing with this here farm." Applejack let loose a sigh and slid her hooves back and forth in lazy circles across the grass. "But I suppose if I stress that wishing a mighty bit too hard, I'll never enjoy this life, this home, this harmony. That would be a mistake. An honest mistake." Harmony gulped the lump down her throat and glanced curiously the earth pony's way. "How, if you don't mind me asking, how did, She winced at her own audacity. "I'm sorry." What? Applejack blinked innocently at her. "You mean to ask how my folks died?" Harmony bit her lip. "Look, seriously, forget about it. I didn't mean to pry." "No, it's quite all right. History's history, ain't it?" Applejack smiled softly. "I do my best only to sweat the future." "A wise precaution." "Ahem." Applejack sat up straight, cracking the joints in her spine as she exhaled forth a story laced with years of repetition. Ma and Pa weren't just your average farmhoofs. They were important members of Ponyvillian society. Pa was the head planter of many local sharecroppers, and he also ran up the Apple family reunion single-hoofedly every other year. And Ma, Applejack smiled proudly. Ma was Ponyville's pride and joy. She didn't get that pretty title by picking daisies. No, she was an important member of the town's cabinet. Barely 2 years after marrying into the Apple family, she got elected to head of Ponyville's community council. For nearly a decade and a half, she overlooked every winter wrap-up and summer sun celebration, as well as leading fundraisers for many local charities.
Really?
Harmony beamed, her face awash in joyous revelation.
I had no idea.
Of course you didn't. She was a celebrity by Ponyvillian standards. She never did set a hoof in Canterlot.
Right.
Harmony blushed. She gulped and remarked. I saw the dates on their graves. They must have died around the same time.
Yep.
Applejack somberly nodded.
It was a horrible accident. So many ponies in town were affected. Have you ever heard of the Everclear Mine?
Harmony's breath left her in a gasp. All the while, the Pegasus grimaced as if a knife had been sliced down the center of her invulnerable copper chest. Her eyes instantly rounded, and she wiltingly murmured,
"Your parents were in the Everclear Mine collapse?"
She swallowed something dry down her throat and gazed groundward. Her heartbeat was nearly bursting through her neck as she shuddered to say,
"Oh, Miss Applejack, I'm so sorry."
"Oh, they weren't in the mine when it caved in," Applejack clarified, momentarily ignorant of her companion's sudden lapse in breath. "That tragedy was reserved for several dozens of unfortunate workers, as every pony who's lived around here knows. But my folks?" She hesitated briefly, before summoning a courageous smile of pride from deep within her orange-coated frame. "They were the first to arrive on the scene the moment they caught word of the disaster. Ma drew the relief wagon, while Pa tried to climb his way down into the ruined shaft to search for survivors. Together, they managed to get at least 8 workers out before more help came. Of course, no pony quite realized that a huge underground node of inferno had been pierced in the depths of the Everclear mine. Nearly every worker pulled from the site died within a week from polluted lungs." Applejack took a deep breath. "Including Ma and Pa, Guiltyfiend rest their souls. No pony could ever say they weren't the dependable types, down to the bitter end. It's inspiring, really, even if it is dang tragic. Later, they built a memorial on the site of the collapsed mine, and Ma and Pa are the first listed among the names of the brave but ill-fated rescue workers. The Apple family visits it at every reunion, and our hearts have always gone out to every pony involved in the tragedy." Harmony was hearing Applejack's account, and yet her mind was in another world. A very cold and lonely world that permeated her memories long before any single fleck of ash dotted the wastes of Equestria. Applejack took one glance at her and raised a concerned eyebrow.
"Harmony? You didn't know any pony was taken by the Everclear mine, did you?"
Harmony cleared her throat and bravely stammered.
"In a manner of speaking, yes. Yes, I did."
She inhaled sharply and smiled the best she could the farmer's way.
"But like you said, Applejack, it's only worth swinging the future, yes?"
Applejack smiled and stole a new friend's phrase.
"A wise precaution."
Harmony nodded.
"Now I understand everything," she said after taking a somber breath.
"Dependability, courage, and strength. It runs in your blood, doesn't it? Somehow I wouldn't doubt that if a supply of inferno had exploded underneath the very foundation of your barn, you too would be on the scene to help any pony out. I know this may seem like a stretch, Miss Applejack, but I believe that you can extend that same quality to the fervor with which you've tackled these trolls."
"Or attempted to," Applejack remarked.
"Ma and Pa were courageous and selfless, but they never went in over their heads. No pony knew about the Infernite. But these here trolls," she sighed. "I should have gotten the hint that they weren't ordinary varmints from the first day I laid eyes on them scary leather flanks of theirs. Oh, Celestia, what have I got my family into?"
She collapsed to the ground in a groaning heap.
"Hey."
Harmony rested a hoof on her shoulder.
"Don't fret. Neither of us may have an answer, but focus on the apple bucking at hoof, and I'm sure that a solution will come to us. Y'all Canterlotians must have faith that can move mountains. When we're inspired, you bet."
Harmony smirked. She rose to her knees and offered the earth pony a hoof.
"You said that your character of honesty fitted the destiny that you have with your friends, right? Well, I think the qualities of your life fall into a similar cadence. You've got family. You've got a home." She smiled bravely. "And you've got yourself some harmony. What's the worst that could happen?"
Applejack gently grasped onto Harmony's limb and lurched up onto all fours.
"I reckon you plan to show me? If it's nearly as much as you've shown me, I would be happy to oblige," Harmony said, then motioned with her mane towards the red-tainted fields under the golden sunset. "Come on. If we work together, I'm sure we can knock out a few more orchards."
Applejack trotted enthusiastically after her.
"Think y'all might do me a favor and knock my exhausted flank out in the meantime?"
"Nah, I might damage your hat."
Pfft.
Barely half an hour later, Harmony was out of breath. It was not her own exhaustion that spurred forth this lapse in energy,
but rather, the infectious weariness wafting off of Applejack and Big Macintosh had overwhelmed her. She sat, slumped against a tree, watching and waiting as the two Earth ponies set up another line of baskets beneath two rows of trees. In a matter of minutes, the game of orchard pinball would resume. Harmony expected it to be a numb and frivolous exercise, like the entirety of that day had become. Still, even if she worked with the heated frenzy of the Harmony's boiling steam, the apple bucking would not go fast enough, and the howling night would not come to slow its approach enough. The time traveler shut her amber eyes, and as soon as she did, the gray ash returned. The twilight of the future had followed her back in time, limping, reminding her with every blink that she was just as much a creature of misery as the beast that had haunted the Apple family's pristine home. There was no fitting word to describe the irony of this bitter sandwich. Two groups of adversaries, converging upon a single point in finite history that didn't deserve either of them. For the briefest of moments, Harmony wondered if Princess Entropa had planned this, had plotted and designed it from her lonely cosmic cloud of exile. Perhaps this was revenge for the Pegasus having so brazenly stolen her coat, for believing, even for a green flaming millisecond, that she actually earned the chance to gallop back and forth along the streams of reverse time. But if the last pony in all of Equestria didn't earn this, if she didn't deserve the chance to transcend, however briefly, the chronological barriers that had imprisoned her forever under the cascading twilight coffin of isolation, then who did? Harmony tiredly opened her eyes. Once she had done so, one image stood in the foreground of the glistening acres. Fatefully, it was none other than,
"You don't look half as exhausted as you should be, child,"
Granny Smith uttered.
"I've seen you making your fancy hoofwork across them trees. It's by far the most amazing thing I've ever seen."
"I find that hard to believe," Harmony said with a gently prodding smile. "You've lived a long life, Miss Smith. I hardly deserve to be flattered that much."
"But y'all deserve it nonetheless,"
the lime-coated mare murmured. On wobbling legs, she strolled around the tree to which the time traveler was slumped.
"If we had your lickety-split flying talents 2 days ago, or even yesterday for that matter, we may actually have had a legitimate reason to contract the apple delivery so dag-blame early."
"It's easy to mourn the lengths of time we failed to do proper things with," Harmony philosophized out loud. "But all that will do is waste more time. I like to deal with the situation in front of me as it comes into fruition. Equestrian history was built by ageless ponies doing the exact same thing."
"You wear time like a second skin, don't you, Miss Harmony?"
Harmony's copper nostrils flared.
"You have no idea," she groaned.
"You're right, I reckon I don't."
Miss Smith pivoted her gray head to gaze down at the filly.
"Tell me, if you would, Miss Harmony, do you enjoy a stallion of Arius because the strings speak to your soul, or is it because they speak to your heartbeat?"
"Where I come from, Miss Smith, a heartbeat is something I force myself to imagine."
"Think you'll ever tell my family just where you do come from, darling?"
"I..."
Harmony's face retched like a filly who had been stabbed in the leg. The shattered image of Granny Smith's green carving knife appeared in a bodiless cloud, easing her spirit ever so slightly. "I hope that I'll never have to."
"I reckon that's just up to us to discover,"
Miss Smith remarked. The utterance was just as dry to hear as it was to produce. The elder smirked slightly.
"How goddess-like, to leave the likes of us to our own devices."
"Miss Smith,"
Harmony viciously sighed, shaking her copper head.
"I am not a..."
"Of course not."
Granny Smith squatted down with a breath besides Harmony, eyeing Applejack and Big Macintosh from afar.
"But my family's future is cradled in your hooves, no less fragile-like,
Her gray eyes were half as piercing as they were warm. She said,
"If time has afforded you any less wounds than it has thoughtlessly deposited on my lap, then heaven help us if you're any less respectful with the gifts you have to wield."
"Miss Smith, even the greatest of gifts only goes so far,"
Harmony said. Once more, her mind's eye was assaulted by the gnashing teeth of a sea of pale leather. She clenched her eyes shut and ran a hoof over her face. "And so deep," she added in a shudder.
"It makes me wonder, Miss Harmony."
Granny Smith's voice was like a gray cloud bed that hovered majestically over a jutting mountain.
"Just what depths have you gone? What dark and winding chasms have you navigated to be here, and to be here so solemnly, that it makes an old lady such as myself amazed to hear it in your voice?"
She gulped.
"You can't be this young mare sitting before me. You just can't. You're something different, something grander, something darker. My family doesn't have the gumption to comprehend it, and I suddenly think that all the scholars in Canterlot thrown in a grand heap together certainly couldn't wrap their noggins around it either."
"What are you trying to say, Miss Smith?"
Harmony finally surrendered with a wilted breath.
"What I'm saying, Miss Harmony, is I forgive you."
Harmony blinked her eyes open at that. She gazed at the lime-coated elder.
"You forgive me?"
"AJ, my granddaughter, is an angel, and most of that comes to her because of her natural well of honesty. Honest creatures know how to take hold of this world's glorious light and shine it for all the gathering ponies to see and marvel. But you're a different kind of creature. You can see this world for its darkness, and you can see a whole lot deeper into them shadows than even my eyes can venture. And I've seen my fair share of darkness in this life. Miss Hominy, I can't pretend to know what horrible shadows are haunting this farm, but deep in my heart I'm glad, thankful and blessed, that you're here to do your dangest to stifle it from us. That's an amazing strength, a separate strength, the likes of which even Applejack could respect, though I'm starting to reckon she won't ever have the grace to, or myself for that matter.
Miss Smith, please believe me. Harmony stood up as the farm siblings trotted towards her from the distance. The baskets were ready, the trees were ready, and the ever-dying afternoon was ready. She only wished that she was ready. It is never, ever about grace, Harmony gulped. It has always and shall always be about desperation.
I reckon even a goddess wouldn't know about that.
They don't have to know about it. We do. Another hour and a half of frenzied apple rattling, and the swathing band of harvested trees ended clockwise at the crest of the dipping western acres. The three courageous farm ponies strained and struggled to the bitter end, only stopping their relentless pursuit of the hanging apples the very moment that they could no longer see the fruit, for the sun had sunk below the crest of the amber horizon. A sleepy darkness was falling over every contour of the orchards. Bright green leaves stole to gray foliage as Harmony finished her last sideways dance across a line of swaying wooden trunks, with Applejack breathlessly sprinting beneath her to provide a line of sight. Granny Smith had wandered out of the farmhouse, shuffling westward on brittle bones in order to light several lanterns flanking the dirt path leading to the barn. The final harvest wagon was being filled to the brim with baskets upon baskets of juicy bounty. Big Macintosh took a swig of water from a nearby trough, tightened his muscles for one last daylit haul, and pulled the large wagon across the farm towards a woodshed where he had earlier crafted a complex locking mechanism to thwart trollish fingers overnight. The trolls. Even as Harmony fluttered wordlessly towards the wilting grass under hoof, she grimaced at the darkening sky, at the cooling breeze, at the spreading shadows from the forest wall beyond the fence. But most of all, she shuddered at the grand void in her projected brain where she had long hoped a solution to the Apple family's plight would present itself. A solution that she had fought for, bucked for, and outright lied for. The last pony had struggled long and hard with the trolls over the years. She had brushed elbows with the demons of the mist and learned how to discern their cries from the generic howls of the wasteland. Had earned several scars, on her flank and on her spirit, for having underestimated the violent and riotous abominations that infected the bosom of future Equestria. For outlasting trolls beyond the cataclysm, Harmony's solution was, as a matter of fact, the utter lack of a solution. The only way to deal with the creatures was to avoid them, which is why she ultimately took to airship. The monstrosities had utterly robbed her of any semblance of a native land, long after horrific circumstance had utterly blasted the same earth under her hooves to ashes. Trolls were undeniably stupid creatures, and yet they could thrive in lifeless oblivion. They would ultimately inherit the future. Before Harmony's curved eyes stretched the finest sample of land she had ever seen, in either lifetime, both joyous and joyless. There was no other spot in Equestria that matched the lushness and puerile beauty of Sweet Apple Acres. It was the finest example of the juxtaposition of natural beauty and Earth Pony spirit. While the rest of Equestria died under flame and ash, it would take a veritable sinkhole to wipe out the breath of life forever imprinted on this part of the world. To see it all fall so mercilessly under the chaotic teeth of tomorrow's monsters was a travesty. Fighting for the rainbow symbol, or scavenging a ruined city for magic flame were the only excuses Harmony ever had to go to blows with these creatures, and on every occasion she had only survived by galloping cowardly away from the fiends. But here, in the fertile crescent of Princess Celestia's homeland, upon the gracious land sweated, bled, and died for by generations upon generations of Applejack's family, where would Harmony find the excuse to run?
There's so many of them,
the copper-coated Pegasus murmured.
What was that, Sugar Cube?
Applejack trotted around the shattered edge of the wagon as Macintosh pulled it away. She panted from a day's worth of galloping after the flying applebucker, and straightened her hat while gazing at her curiously.
You finally got an idea in that fancy noggin of yours?
Harmony wanted to tell Applejack that it was impossible. She wanted to embrace a pony whom she trusted, sobbing to her all of her pain, agony, and sorrows of having to deal with those creatures, of having to shudder at their bounding steps when she was trying to signal kindred spirits with an artificial rainbow, of having been stabbed and skewered to a bloody mess in the center of a demolished ponyville. In the depths of her hardened soul, Harmony could not deny that her only salvation ever against the drooling menaces was none other than a miraculously rampaging dragon out of nowhere. But this was not the wasteland. This was the past, Sweet Apple Acres, and it was the end of the evening, and the prelude to a sea of leathery bodies weaving their way out of the woodwork. And Scootaloo was not the last pony. She was Miss Harmony, and Applejack was waiting for an answer.
To be honest, Miss Applejack, I think we've done all that we can possibly do, she murmured, gazing aside with glazed amber eyes. We've collected as many apples as we can. I think the next step is to seal up the woodsheds, batten down the hatches, and keep guard on what your family has harvested up until now. So long as every pony's eyes are in the same place, the bounty just may survive the night.
And what of the west and north fields?
Applejack gulped. Harmony exhaled coldly. That will have to be tomorrow's concern.
Applejack rubbed her chin with a muddied hoof. She paced a bit, smirked, and glanced up with a glint of hope in her green eyes.
Them creatures' weakness is the sun, ain't it? Y'all reckon that lighting up a whole heap of torches might drive them off all scaredy-cat-like?
Harmony's vision twitched. She remembered a lonely pink-haired filly in the moon craters of post-cataclysm Equestria. The last pony had made the same assumption as Applejack. After lighting over 50 torches, she had created a burning perimeter around her shelter while starting to work on her first zeppelin. The long and short of it, she never finished that airship. She barely made it back to her hole in the ground with her skin intact.
No, Miss Applejack.
Torches only serve as toys to trolls. The next moment you know, they'll have your entire homestead burned to the ground in a blink.
Shoot, you sure about that?
Trust me.
Well.
Applejack took a deep breath and snapped a few cricks in her neck. Her lips hardened into a rocky frown.
McIntosh and I never rightly expected them trap of ours to work. In fact, we knew it would come down to fist hooves at some point or another.
Meaning?
We've already been planning to come to blows with them varmints, Applejack said with a tired smile. I reckon tonight may be the night we just try eliminating the dang creatures.
Harmony's eyes narrowed on the farm filly.
Define eliminating. Sorry?
What do you and your brother plan to do with the trolls when you have them in your sights?
Well, you know, we'd thrash them out of fierce.
Just that?
You'd thrash them?
Would that be it? You would just smack them upside the head and expect them to walk away. You'd expect all of them to just walk away because they got a bunch of bruises?
Well, no. I guess we would, you know.
Applejack shifted where she stood on all fours.
We'd have to put them all out to pasture. Literally.
Miss Applejack, have you ever killed something before?
Killed something?
Harmony somberly nodded.
Well, shucks. Sweet Apple Acres had a long history of dealing with all sorts of pesky annoyances. Snakes, fruit flies, worms, possums, even a lone wolf here or there. As a matter of fact, some of my earliest memories are of digging up these bothersome moles from the ground with my paw. Now there was a pony who knew I worked decently with indecent things.
That's not the same, Miss Applejack.
It ain't?
She blinked nervously. Harmony paced around the orange mare, icily staring her down.
Would you be willing to kill something, Miss Applejack? And I don't mean just anything, but thinking, breathing, crafty things. Things that know your fears and weaknesses, just as they have fears and weaknesses of their own. I'm talking about things that, to eliminate them, you have to stare down the eye twitch of their souls and witness as every waking breath of hate and desire is sucked from their memories, because you are taking it all from them against their will. It takes more than a sharpened pitchfork or a heavy shovel to kill something that has sentience, Miss Applejack. Because no matter how much you flatten a monster into pulp, you cannot deny, even the most hidden part of your opponent granted heart, that even that very monster had a home, had a mother, and that it was birthed into this world by the same breath of nature that gave ponies their song and dance.
Applejack bit her lip and gazed defeatedly into the shattered soil of the land.
No, I reckon. I couldn't do that. No Mackie for that matter.
Harmony smiled painfully.
No pony should ever feel like they could. We are creatures of life, Miss Applejack. We thrive on peace and friendship, on all the things that make this world good and magical. The last major war of ponydom was 1,000 years ago, and there's a reason for that. It's taken Equestria that long to recover from the senseless wounds carved out of our civilization when the Lunar Republic took up arms against its brothers and sisters. She gulped hard and stared towards the last scant lines of golden light gleaming over the western horizon. It would be a dark day indeed when ponies could kill without remorse. Something earth-changing would have to happen.
Harmony's breath lingered in a bitter murmur. Her nostrils smelled a tinge of copper, and were normal once again.
Then if we can't wait him out, and we can't throttle him for good...
Applejack dusted her hat off and sighed.
Then just what in the hay do we do?
Harmony silently prayed. Not so much for an answer to Applejack's question, but instead for a reason, any reason, to not have to answer her right then and there. The supernatural result was a pattering of foolish hooves, and then a chirping voice that lit up the otherwise darkening air.
Wow, you got all them apples bucked in one afternoon? That's so amazing!
Apple bloom! Applejack hissed.
What have I been telling you all month about coming out of the house on your lonesome? Especially after dark!
But I'm not alone! The crimson-maned filly shook her snout. The girlishly bright hair bow adorned her head, brightening the scene like a newborn comet as her giggling voice carried on.
You and Miss Harmony are here with me.
She winked at the visiting laborer and exclaimed,
I saw all them fancy tricks you were performing in the fields, Miss Harmony, bouncing around between trees like the living spooks. It was so cool.
Apple bloom. Applejack grumbled, rubbing her own face with a weary hoof.
We're a tad bit busy here, Sugar Cube. Granny Smith says that you like her kind of music. I always thought every pony but her was far too young to enjoy all them wailing strings.
Applebloom made a retching face, then smirked, her bright amber eyes matching the pupils of the stranger whom she was staring at with amazement.
Y'all ever heard of DJ Pone 3?
Harmony fidgeted, making a great show of not noticing Applebloom's existence.
She shivered slightly.
Miss Hominy?
The tiny filly raised an eyebrow.
Are you feeling okay?
Come on, darling. Applejack half trotted over and nudged the foal with her snout. Back into the house. Git.
But sis, I was just asking her about music.
Don't you but sis me. It's high time for supper, bath, and bed. There's still a whole lot of apple bucking to be done tomorrow, so Mackie and I gotta hit the hay early. And when we sleep early, that means you sleep earlier.
Oh, but AJ...
Harmony cleared her voice. The two siblings froze and glanced over as the Pegasus bravely pivoted her face to look young Applebloom in the eye. She gave a nervous smile and said, Applebloom, you're never too young to appreciate a good symphony when you hear it. Your granny not only has good tastes, but she's got good memories to go along with them. She only wants to share that kind of stuff with you and your brother and sister, because it's like sharing a part of her as well.
But it's all so boring and stiff-like,
Applebloom retched.
Give me a fast beat and something cool to dance to, you reckon?
You'd be surprised how boring and stiff music could be a pleasant thing to dance to as well, Harmony grinned. Especially if it reminds you of good times. She gulped slightly, but overcame it with a wink. And good friends.
Wow, you're pretty deep, Miss Harmony.
Applebloom blinked, then grinned girlishly.
Is that how you got your cutie mark?
My cutie mark? Harmony blinked at the tiny crusader in a brief bout of amnesia.
Don't mind her.
Applejack sighed and nudged her little sister again.
She's in that call of the cutie phase. I bet even Cannelodian Pegasi can relate.
Don't I know it. Harmony smiled and trotted over before lowering her snout before the blinking foal. If you must know, Applebloom. Her mind hovered over the hoofsteps of Miss Cheerilee's ghostly words as she uttered. This mark of mine means that I'm a servant in the royal court of Canterlot. I perform communicative and ambassadorial tasks for Princess Celestia. Sometimes, I even act as her direct messenger, flying across the lengths of Equestria, maintaining peace and order among all ponydom.
Wow!
The little filly cooed. She produced a dreamy grin, near drooling, and she asked,
Just what is the dark loopy shape in the middle of the black crest?
It's an infinity symbol, Harmony breathed, blinked dumbly, and ultimately muttered. It stands for, infinity?
How'd you earn that?
By talking round in circles?
Applebloom! Applejack hissed again. In the house, that's quite enough. But maybe if I started talking up a storm of fancy things, then I could get a key mark as amazing as hers.
Believe me, Sugar Cube, if that was the case, you'd be covered from hoof to mane and tons of them black loop-de-loops by now. Now get along, little doggy.
But I only meant to be neighborly.
Don't you have school to rest for tomorrow, kid? Harmony smirked.
As if. It's a Saturday.
Oh. Harmony blinked. The last pony narrowed her eyes and accidentally murmured aloud. What comes before Saturday again?
Hehe. Silly Miss Harmony. Friday. Every pony knows that.
Applebloom.
I'm a-gettin'. Don't get your hat in a twirl, sis.
The foal scampered off, giggling. Applejack shook her blonde head and trotted back towards the Pegasus.
Don't mind her. What, with her two bubbly crusader friends and all? She's a regular hoof foal.
She's awfully sweet, though, Harmony said in a melancholic breath that she tried to hide. I already see in her the same friendliness as her grandmother.
And the same stubbornness.
Applejack rolled her eyes.
But who am I to say?
Heh. Heh. Gotcha. Harmony breathed, then with a furrowing of her brow, she uttered, By the way, who's DJ Pwn3?
Beats me. One of them record-scratching music banger-uppers that all the fools have gone plumb loco for these days. Don't care much for the tunes myself. Only popular song these days I've come close to fancying is Buck to December, but Trotta Swiftly.
Yeah, okay, sure. Applejack inhaled the grand darkening evening around them as she watched the distant form of Big Macintosh loading the crates full of apples into a woodshed before barricading it up.
Heavens to Betsy, she groaned. I've about galloped myself to the bone with all of the day's apple bucking. Mackie may not look it, but he's bound to collapse at any moment, too. And yet, though I know we'll both tuck it out like hungry snakes in a mice stampede, it'd be a surefire miracle if we get a single wink of sleep between the two of us. Every night it's the same dang thing. Even if them trolls didn't want our blood, they'd whip up something fierce. I'm surprised downtown Ponyville hasn't heard all the holler and racket these last few weeks. There's no sense in hiding it, Miss Harmony. I'm severely lacking any hope of the rest of the apples surviving by the time we try bucking them loose tomorrow.
Don't give up, Miss Applejack, Harmony said, gazing at the darkening treetops to the west and north. I'll keep an eye out.
I beg your pardon?
It's the least I can do until we meet again in the morning, the time traveler said. Some pony has to stand guard. Harmony dizzily teetered as she thought of so many pale bodies in the shattered clusters of endless apple orchards. It would be a long, long night indeed.
I can't even begin to fathom the shame of leaving your family here on your lonesome. You ain't going back to Ponyville or nothing?
Ponyville? Harmony made a face.
What do you mean?
I figured y'all was staying in a hotel or something while you paid us a visit on behalf of the court.
Oh, pfft.
Harmony smirked. I never went to a hotel. She caught herself in the middle of that, winced, then reiterated. That is, I'm fine, Miss Applejack. I came here to Sweet Apple Acres to help you, and I'm not leaving until the jobs are done. Both of them. The apples and the trolls. Applejack stared at her long and hard. Slowly, a smile crept over her orange features.
My sweet suntan flank! I won't let you go floating around all night like some headless horse. Come on, Copperbottom.
She tugged at the Pegasus's tail hairs. Harmony gave her a double glance.
Excuse me? Excuse yourself. You're staying indoors.
Indoors where?
In the Apple family household, you strawhead.
Harmony's heart skipped a beat. The green world spun loops between her dangling hooves. Instinctually, she barked.
Oh no, AJ, or Miss Applejack. I can't. Besides, some pony's got to keep an eye out on the forest for when the trolls come out. Fat lick of good that'll do when you fall out of the sky in a dead slumber from overworking yourself. You may have a talent at airborne apple bucking, but every filly has her limits. I'd never live right with myself if I left you out here in the cold to fend off them varmints on your lonesome. You're getting a proper meal and a bed to sleep in.
Miss Applejack, I'm fine. You're the one thing that's standing in the way between tomorrow and my family's farm going up in flames. Applejack snapped back. Then, she blushed slightly, and added,
metaphorically speaking, of course.
She cleared her throat and gazed up at the Pegasus in earnest.
I spent the better part of yesterday trying to shoo you away, not knowing a gift horse when I looked her in the sweet face. And yet, you stuck it out with us, Miss Harmony. You saved Mackie's laugh. You saved my laugh. My ma and pa would be rolling in the graves if I didn't pay you back for the best thing we always had to give. Sweet tasting apples, and a place to lay your head. Now, are you our guest or ain't you?
Harmony stared breathlessly at her. In a hazed blink, under the phantom scents of crackling embers and melted marshmallows, she saw a sisterly face gazing at her over an upside-down hat bouncing with three juicy apples. In an age long dead, the simplest of gifts had helped the foal last another shivering week on her own, spent liquidly in the warmth of delightful dreams, of having some place to call a family, of having some place to call a home, of the simple harmony of the fleeting thought, as her moments were always fleeting, as this moment right here was fleeting. The last pony bravely cut it off at the head. She may not have been strong enough, but she certainly wasn't stupid. I would be honored to be your guest, Miss Applejack. She smiled savoringly, as if she knew she could never smile again.
Alrighty then.
Applejack smirked and proudly nudged the stumbling Pegasus towards the farmhouse. And if y'all don't mind me saying so, Sugar Cube, the first order of business is giving you a bath.
Harmony blinked crookedly. Okay?